Welcome to the On the Shelf podcast with host Joanna Lewis from The Pharmacist's Guide. The podcast features conversations about wellness, including nutrition, supplements, skincare, and anything else on the shelf. On top of the importance of our physical wellness, we will also touch on mental and emotional wellness throughout our episodes.
I am so honored and excited to have Michelle Tam as a guest on the podcast today. She is the creator of the very successful food blog, Nom Nom Paleo. She has a New York Times bestselling cookbook, is a James Beard Foundation Award nominee, a Webby Award winner, and the winner of the Best in Paleo by Paleo Magazine. And this is just to name a few. But what not everyone knows is that she also is a pharmacist. And today we're going to talk to her a little bit about that and her journey. So thank you for coming on the podcast today, Michelle. Welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Could you share just a little bit about your background, your story as a pharmacist, and then how did you get started with paleo cooking?
Yeah, so I used to joke that I was a zombie drug dealer because I was the night shift pharmacist at Stanford Hospital for 12 years. And before that, I was the ICU pharmacist at Stanford. So I worked 14 years at Stanford. But then while I was working at Stanford, I started a food blog called Nom Nom Paleo. And I started that in 2010. So while I was working nights, so I was kind of doing that as my side hustle while I worked nights at the hospital. And then kind of one thing led to another. And I quit my job in pharmacy in 2014. And so now I do recipe creation full time. But for a long time, I was juggling both things. And I still have an inactive license in the state of California. So if I did my pharmacy CEs, I could theoretically work.
Go back to work.
Yeah.
Does that scare you a little bit?
I mean, I think just because I'm, as the child of immigrants, I feel like I can't just give it up completely. Like I've been paying whatever the fee is to have this inactive license for, you know, many years now. And I'm always like, oh, I should just save this money because I'm not sure I'm going to go back to work. And I don't even remember what antibiotics we're supposed to use. Like, do people just still use Vanco and Zosyn? Like, I don't remember.
Yes.
I think I always just want to have a backup plan. And like my husband who helps me on all things Nom Nom Paleo, like he still has his job. And so I feel like we're always, I always have kind of a backup because I don't know where things are going to go. And we've never had any type of, you know, business plan or five-year plan or whatever for Nom Nom Paleo. But I'm not sure I want to come back to work. It seems pretty stressful right now with COVID and, you know, I just remember when I was working, there would just be drug shortages all the time and there were staff shortages all the time. And I can only imagine now with everything happening, how it just amplified exponentially.
Yes, it's been a nightmare.
Yeah, but I bet.
Well, as I learn about you, you were talking about in an earlier interview about like being a food scientist. And how did you kind of transition into, how did you get interested into paleo cooking?
You know, the whole paleo cooking thing happened kind of by accident. So I've always loved food and I've always been a huge, huge foodie. And when I was in college, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but I knew I wanted to do some sort of, you know, stable professional career in the health industry. But I was like, I don't want to be like a medical doctor because I don't want to touch naked people. I don't want to be an eye doctor because I don't want to stick my hands in people's eyes. I don't want to be a dentist. I don't, you know, like all these things.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, maybe I'll be a food science major and I will do research in like, you know, developing kind of frankenfoods. And so I was a nutrition and food science major at Berkeley. And then as my senior project, I had to do some sort of lab project. And I was like, oh, I hate this. I hate lab work. I hate going in and, you know, checking in on stuff like in the middle of the night and all this stuff. And then I think one day I went to, oh, my sister gave me this necklace that she got in Mexico because she went to school at UC San Diego and it had some mercury in it, but I didn't think anything of it. And I used to wear this necklace all the time and then it broke. And I was like, ah, what do I do? And so I called the poison control center. I'm like, hey, I have this necklace that had some mercury in it. And I think I spilled it. And what do I do? And they're like, oh, you know, you should probably move. Like, okay. Oh, man, they were actually really great. And I was like, well, what kind of qualifications do you guys have anyway to tell me what I'm supposed to do with things? And they're like, oh, we all have PharmDs. And I was like, what's that? And like, oh, it's a pharmacy doctor. We're all pharmacists. I was like, really? This is what you guys do? Like, that's kind of amazing. Like, I didn't really know any pharmacists in my life. And so I started looking into pharmacy. I was like, wow, this is a really great career path. There's, you know, lots of opportunities. You can do many different things. And so I was like, I'm going to apply to pharmacy school. And so then I went to pharmacy school. And when I was at pharmacy school, I was like, I wanted to do some sort of education, something. So I thought, well, maybe I'll work at poison control. So I did rotations through poison control. And then I was like, I also really like drug information. And I was like, maybe I'll work at a drug company. And so I did end up doing a residency that was at half at Stanford and half at a drug company. And when I worked at the drug company, I was like, oh, wow, I don't think I want to work at a drug company, because it was eye-opening, like some of the stuff that I saw. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to do the opposite of what I always thought. I'm going to work at the ICU at Stanford and be really in the weeds and have lots of patient contacts, you know, potentially. But then my schedule was so crazy that I was like, when the night shift pharmacist position came up, because like we had to work mornings and evenings and swing shift. And I was part of the night pool because you were one of the, you know, the young pharmacists, you had to like go into the night pool. And so when the night pool pharmacy position came up, I was like, this is kind of great because I will know my schedule forever. Like I work 7 nights on and have 7 off. I can make like restaurant reservations. I can, you know, plan travel. And so I was doing that for a while. And then we had 2 kids, because I was probably one of the first night pharmacists at Stanford that actually had kids, because most were like single and, you know, didn't have families. But I was married and I had 2 kids. After my kids were young, my husband and I were like, oh, we have to get back in shape, because like we had stopped, you know, exercising and eating well. And so he decided to get some exercise DVDs, and I did too. And so that's kind of how we discovered paleo, because he did P90X, which is this kind of crazy, like 90-day thing that they sold on late night TV. And so he was a blogger. And so he was just blogging about his P90X journey. And he would kind of research the people in P90X. And one of the people is Mark Sisson. And Mark Sisson is kind of one of the, you know, godfathers of the primal and paleo movement. And so when Henry looked into what he was doing now, he's like, oh, he's got this, you know, blog where he talks about eating real food. And, you know, I'm going to try this. And I was like, really? Because like, at this time, like I was all about like low fat, tons of whole grains, mostly vegetarian, or like, you know, vegetarian food. And I was like, are you sure? It doesn't seem like that's healthy to like start eating, you know, cutting out grain and eating meat and all this stuff. Yeah. And then he was like, I don't know, I'm going to try it. It kind of sounds, you know, like we're getting back to basics. And he felt so great. And like, he immediately got like a 6-pack and he had all this energy. And after his 90-day journey, he was like, look at my before and after pictures. What are yours like? And I was like, not like that. And I was also doing like this exercise program, not P90X, but like I was doing Shaleen Extreme. But I actually looked worse in my after pictures because I was like exercising like crazy and I was hungry all the time. And I was eating what I thought was a healthy diet, eating tons of whole grains and, you know, mostly vegetarian, but I felt terrible. And so then I was like, I'm going to try what you're doing. And so I did. And I suddenly felt so much better. I felt like I had swallowed like the red pill on the Matrix. And I was like, I have to tell everyone about this. And so I started telling everyone, I was like, you know, this way of eating, like, I just feel so much better. Like all my joint pain, all my GI stuff, all this stuff that I had my whole life that I just thought everybody experienced, because nobody talks about this kind of stuff with each other, like went away. And when I was, and as a night shift worker, like my energy levels were so much better. And I actually think going paleo made me work nights probably longer than I should have, just because I felt so much better. And I was able
to kind of
flip from night shift to day shift really easily. So it was crazy. And And so then my sister was like, you know, I love you, but you're super annoying. Like all this talk about the paleo diet, like, why don't you, I can't hang out with you anymore. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll put it on the internet. Maybe I'll start a blog. And so that's what happened. Like I just started this Tumblr blog and I just started talking about what I brought to work every night and what I would cook for my meals. And it just kind of went from there, but there was no grand plan. Like it was just this kind of crazy happenstance that happened.
And then you said you were anonymous for a while. Like what happened when people started to find out?
I was totally anonymous. Henry was anonymous on his blog. But then we started going to like paleo conferences, you know, just to kind of meet. Cause like at this time it's totally fringe. And so the people that you meet are like people you meet on the internet. And then once in a blue moon, we'd meet at these like paleo conferences. And so then I think cause we were meeting people in real life, I mean, I just decided, I was like, I don't think people can really connect with you until you kind of say who you are. But still, I didn't expect anyone at work because it still was very fringe.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't tell people at work. I mean, obviously, like at the time, I was just working with one night shift technician. So she knew what I was doing. But I didn't tell like the nurses because our pharmacy was in the like ICU and like none of the nurses knew what I did. And I didn't talk about it. But then I think by the time our first book came out, I think people started, you know, knowing that it was me that worked at the pharmacy. And so then people would bring books to the pharmacy in the middle of the night for me to sign. And it was all very strange. I was like, no, don't bring this to work. Like, I don't talk about this at work. And I didn't tell my bosses that I did this. It got to be a lot to juggle. Because at first I was like, oh, I can totally do this. Like, I work 1 week and I have 1 week off. I can kind of juggle both things, but it just got to be too much. And finally I was like, okay, I'm gonna quit my night job and then kind of do this full time. I take it all still day by day. And, you know, because we were able to do it as like a passion project, like if it's not fun or it's not something I want to do, like eventually we'll just shut it down.
No, that's such a, because not everyone gets to live their, you know, make their passion their career, but you clearly are making it work. Sometimes it scares me because pharmacy is, knock on wood, kind of stable, you know, like to step away from this completely stable traditional job into something where you don't have a roadmap. Like how was that transition?
Well, it was hard and crazy, right? And that's why I worked at the pharmacy and did non-paleo for at least 4 years. Because I think until I quit in 2014, like I was juggling both.
That's a lot. And you had two small children, right?
And we had two small children. But I think I had, by that time, I had worked 14 years. So I felt like I had kind of gotten my degree's worth. You know, it wasn't like I had gone to pharmacy school and then suddenly, and then I worked maybe a year or two and I was in all of this pharmacy debt. You know what I mean? That I just quit. So I had worked for 14 years and non-paleo was, you know, successful. You know, we had, you know, I think it was right before, it was after our first book came out. That's when I realized I couldn't kind of book tour and do everything. But my husband still has his day job. So we have like medical insurance, you know what I mean? As I was telling you earlier, as a child of immigrants, you just want to make sure you're covered just in case something happens. But I also think that and I was really worried too, because I know my parents sacrificed a lot for, you know, to move to America. But I also think they didn't sacrifice everything so that I could be kind of stuck in this job that I hated and I was like a cog in the wheel. Like I think they sacrificed everything so that I could pursue something that I was passionate about. But obviously they want me to like, you know, make money so I can pay my mortgage and stuff. I mean, what's so funny is I don't know, like, I think my parents are like, oh, it's great that you have this thing. But the thing that made them the proudest, I think, like, you know, we've been in the New York Times and our 3 books are New York Times bestsellers. And those things are like huge for like Henry and I. But like, they were excited because I won this award at UCSF in 2019. It was some like alumni award. And like, and then it was the category was like most audacious, like doing something like out of the ordinary. And it was kind of wacky because I was like, I don't work in pharmacy anymore. It's funny that they're giving me this award, but like I was allowed to bring guests. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll bring my parents to this. And they were so excited. And it's just this funny little award that maybe 200 people voted on, you know, like, and I, and like talking later to some of the people that were on the judging council, they're like, yeah, we had to fight hard for you because, you know, you're not in pharmacy, but we did think that, you know, you do, you are audacious and you are doing something out of the box. But my parents were so proud of that award for me that I was just like, oh, that's so cute.
That's so it's sweet.
But it's so funny because I was like, this is kind of not, they're like, but it's for UCSF. And I'm like, okay.
They're like, you're still that's part funny. Of it a little bit.
And I was like, that's cute. I'm very happy that this made you so proud. But there were other things I've done that
you're a New York Times bestseller.
I was like, I think it's a bigger deal, but that's cute. I love that you love this.
Oh, I know. I love that. Parents are always our biggest fans, you know, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, you went to pharmacy school. Mm-hmm. I feel like in my pharmacy school experience, there was not very much nutrition, right? Even when we did like, when I worked in like an ambulatory care clinic as a student with like diabetic counseling, even that was kind of very niche. And I never felt like I got the big picture. And I remember working at UNC with a kind of like a bunch of decentral pharmacists, and everyone was talking about nutrition and reading the salt labels on their lean cuisines and
yeah,
things that are, we thought
were healthy. Or just even looking at what's in tube feeds or like TPNs, how like the fats, it's like all soybean oil. I mean, do you know what I mean?
Yes,
like it's just things
yes.
you don't even, like I never even thought about it. Like the quality of any of that, like I just took for granted, like, oh, people say this is healthy, this is what we're supposed to do, I'm gonna do it, I'm not gonna think about how I feel. And exactly. So when I talk about how like I feel like when I went paleo, like I swallowed the red pill, like I literally was like, how come nobody talks about how the quality of food is so important for your health? Like it seems so basic, but it is, like it's a big part. But at the same time, people are like, well, how can you reconcile, like back when I was a pharmacist, like, how can you reconcile this with like traditional medicine? I was like, no, I think traditional medicine is amazing. I work in the ICU and I can see how people's lives are saved every day by the medications we give them. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, I mean, obviously in the ICU, it's like a very acute situation. But then when you get home, like you have to take care of yourself and make sure you don't end up in the ICU again. And I think like nobody truly thinks about how food affects them. But at the same time, I'm not trying to make, and I've been paleo now, like paleo-ish, like we joke that we're only paleo on the internet, but like I've been paleo-ish for like 10, 12 years. And I am not like a paleo purist. And I'm very upfront about that in all the things. But my whole thing is I just want people to cook their own meals and pay attention to how food makes them feel. Like, I don't care if you're vegan, Mediterranean diet, keto, pescatarian, like whatever works for you, great. But just be honest about it and not ignore like that you feel terrible, you know, because you're eating the way someone tells you is healthy.
No, that's, I think one of the biggest things that resonated with me on your blog, you had this article about, is it normal to feel blah? And I'm like, oh, that's how I feel all the time. And even I did a whole 30 in January and just, you know, cutting out a couple things when I started to reintroduce, like you do not realize how much sugar is in every single ingredient. And I felt good enough to want to stick with it. But what would you say to like a student? Because resources are a little tighter to me. And I know you're probably at a place where it comes very easy and quickly, but for me, there's still a lot of planning involved, a lot of work.
So there's, I mean, I think people always assume that I love cooking and I don't at all. I love eating and I'm like, I have a very picky palate because I love good food and I'm surrounded by good food in, you know, the San Francisco Bay Area. But because I know that the healthiest meal is the one that I cook myself, that's why I try to show people shortcuts to a healthy, delicious meal. So that's why I have, you know, really what I think are pretty simple recipes, but I try to, you know, incorporate lots of ingredients that have lots of umami, which is like the fifth taste, which just makes everything taste better. Like, you add fish sauce or coconut aminos or tomato paste or anchovies, like those are things that'll just make things taste better. You know, I have like spice blend recipes, like, yes, you can buy them, you know, now, but like I have like recipes for like my magic mushroom powder. My cookbooks have like my umami stir fry powder, my all purpose stir fry sauce. Like these are kind of just building blocks, but if you just have them, you can quickly make a really delicious meal with just some like ground meat and some vegetables. And I try to show people like on my Instagram, like literally this is what I'm making tonight. Like I sprinkled some seasoning on these pork chops. I popped them in the air fryer. It's going to cook for like 10 minutes. While that's cooking, I'm going to micro steam some vegetables with like some, you know, all purpose stir fry sauce or, you know, umami seasoning powder. That will take like 2-3 minutes. And then my kids will eat rice because they, you know, they aren't like perfectly paleo. So the rice cooker already has some rice. Like I will make some cauliflower rice, but that's dinner. And that is ready in like 30 minutes. That's why our books have like step-by-step pictures for every single recipe. And they have little cartoons and funny little jokes because I'm just trying to be your cheerleader in the kitchen. And so I'm just showing you, look, this is this, you're on the right path. You know, you're on step three. This is what it should look like. You know, you're doing good. And don't worry, there aren't that many more steps. Like, and this is your final product. Because I know what it's like to, like, especially when I was working nights or when I was, even when I was working, you know, day shift in the hospital, like you're so tired. You come home, you're super exhausted. The last thing you want to do is spend all this time cooking something that doesn't turn out. And so, you know, that's kind of what I've kind of dedicated myself to do is to just try to have really like tasty and healthy meals that don't take a lot of effort. And that's why I like the Instant Pot. The Instant Pot I find amazing. They're not a sponsor. But I think like the fact that it's an electric pressure cooker and you can set it and forget it like a slow cooker, but the results are so much better. Like, I just love it. I love that I can throw in the ingredients for a really simple stew and use cheap cuts of meat like pork shoulder and chuck roast and just add a little bit of seasoning and you come home and you've got a stew that you can add vegetables to. You can transform it into a soup the next day. You know, like there's just lots of ways to kind of make things tasty and still make it kind of exciting.
See, that's so inspiring to me. So I have your newest cookbook and this just came out, right?
It came out, I think, 3 weeks ago. Yeah.
3 weeks ago. And that was one of the things that really stuck out to me. First of all, the Japanese meatballs look amazing. You know, when I was doing Whole30, like the sauces, I think, are so important to make or break. And mm-hmm. your sauces look amazing, like your pesto and, like you said, the fish sauce.
Yeah. All you have to do is make one or two of those building blocks and you're kind of set for the rest of the week. Like my ginger scallion sauce is, I think, like 5 ingredients. It literally is like ginger, scallion, salt, avocado oil, and some white pepper. But you have to heat up the avocado oil, but you don't even have to chop it all yourself. You just throw it in one of those little mini prep food processors and then, you know, pour on the hot oil. And then you have this delicious sauce that you can put on fish, you can put on, you know, poached chicken, vegetables, like you name it, and it tastes delicious. And it can keep in your fridge for like up to 2 weeks. Yeah. So there's just, I mean, I just think that people try to overcomplicate things. Like I make what I call like a garbage stir fry all the time. Like literally I look at my fridge, see what's wilting and I throw it into a skillet and that's what's for dinner. And then you just have one pan to wash after dinner, which you shouldn't be washing. If you're cooking, someone else in your family has to be cleaning.
I like that rule. I still am trying to train, my oldest son to help.
Oh, you gotta start
bit.
Early. Like they have to unload the dishwasher every morning and they now have cleanup duty after dinner. So I think you just say I do the cooking. You gotta chip in. You're part of this family.
Yes, I love it. Throughout your career, I know nutrition has been a big part of your wellness journey, but are there any other things that you do just to really, I know your schedule was crazy as a night shift pharmacist and an ICU pharmacist, but it's still crazy, just different. Like, how do you manage your health?
So I think once I went paleo, I kind of dove into this whole rabbit hole of all sorts of things. So yeah, I try to meditate. I always go on like a walk every day. I try to like within the first 30 minutes of waking up, I try to go outside and get some like sunshine. I track my sleep religiously. I have this Oura ring where I track my sleep to make sure I sleep well. I mean, my sleep hygiene is insane. Like I have like, we have a thing that blocks out all light from our window, which is from my night shift days. We have a sound machine. I have this thing that covers my mattress that cools down the temperature of our bed. Yeah,
amazing.
I have like a weighted blanket. I'm looking at my bed right now. I'm like, what kind of crazy stuff do I have? So I do many things, but I sleep is the most important thing. And especially because I worked night shift for as long as I did, I'm sure I've done all sorts of irreparable damage to myself. So I'm just trying to work on that. I do some time restricted eating. Like I normally eat within, I don't do anything crazy. I eat within like a 8-hour window normally.
Okay. Is that like intermittent fasting or?
Sort of, but I think it's more where I stop eating like at like 6 PM or 7 PM. And then I start eating like after 8 or 9 in the morning. Like I know some people have really compacted eating windows, but for me, I just try to have a 13-hour fasting window as kind of my basic. But I don't know. I do lots of crazy stuff. I had my doctor prescribe me a continuous glucose monitor for like, you know, 3 months that I had to pay out of pocket just to kind of see how foods affect me, because I do think I would be a type 2 diabetic if I didn't watch what I ate. And wearing like a Dexcom G6 really kind of put that in my head. I was like, no, I really can't eat rice. Or if I do eat a little rice, I have to have it with some protein and fat. And then if I go on a walk afterwards, it'll bring down my blood sugar. So I do all sorts of crazy biohacking stuff.
No, that's, I love that. I mean, it's not just, you know, when I see you and your journey and follow you, there's a lot of nutrition, but I really agree what you, I mean, it's not just one thing that we do for ourselves. It's the whole package and like sleep.
It's not just food, because you can be super stressed out about food and making sure you're super perfect about food. But if your cortisol is super elevated because you're so stressed out about it, you're not going to be healthy. And if you are super annoying and you don't have any community and nobody wants to hang out with you, that will also be bad for your health, right? So you know, you just have to have all of the things, you know, and nutrition is just a small part of it, but it's a part that's easily fixable that people can kind of think about and start working on.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Michelle. We really appreciated having you here today. I love hearing your journey. Where can we find you?
You can find me at Nom Nom Paleo, kind of on all the things, except for TikTok. I'm on TikTok, but I'm not. Someone stole my name, but like I'm on social. Yeah, I know. So I think I have to have some corny name on TikTok, like the real Nom Nom Paleo, but I'm barely on that anyway. But if you go to nomnompaleo.com, like you'll see our blog and all our recipes. That's where you can find me.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. It's been an honor. And
thank you. It's been so much fun.
Thank you for listening to On the Shelf. Join us next month as we continue to talk to thought leaders and change makers in the world of wellness.